In the book of Sirach, it starts out, if you choose, you can keep the commandments. Well, I wish it were that simple, huh? Because sometimes people lose self-control. We have people with addictions. They hate their addictions, but they just can't let it go. So they're kind of stuck. And so they suffer with that addiction. And so they can't overcome it without help. They have to go seek help. So in alcoholism, they go for treatment, to overcome their addiction. So it's not that simple that we can choose. Sometimes we'd like to, but we just can't do it. And so Sirach points out the legalism of the Jewish religion, and we have that legalism in our church. And that's what the Second Vatican Council tried to overcome, Pope John the 23rd. We were a very Pharisaical church. When I was first ordained in 1956, I've told this story before, I think, but I was sent to Norton as an assistant and associate, and I became friends with the Episcopalian minister. We played golf together. So on Shrove Tuesday, the Episcopalians have a pancake supper. And so the Episcopalian minister priest came to the rectory, and he gave my pastor two free tickets to the supper. Now, at that time, it was the law that you could not eat a dinner at a Protestant church. You were cooperating in a false religion. So he gave us these two free tickets, and the pastor didn't use what he gave them to me. So I thought about it. I thought, well, this is kind of ridiculous. Here we are friends. He gives me two free tickets, and I can't eat a free dinner at their church. It just doesn't make sense. So I went. And I'm glad I did. And, now they promote that. The church promotes it. This is how things change, see? But people, are steeped in that legalism, and it's hard to get out. Bishop George Fitzsimmons, who was the bishop, and after I started the parish, then he became the bishop, and a very, very nice guy. I played golf with him. He was kind of legalistic. He's still the old school. That's why he was made a bishop, because he was of the old school, because Rome was old school. At that time, we had canon law that you couldn't stay in the parish longer than 10 years. That was the law, but it was flexible. But Bishop George just could not be flexible. And so after 10 years, and I wasn't quite finished building the church, the parish, he moved me. And some of the parish council members went to see him to try to keep me for a few years, or at least another year, so we can kind of finish, developing this parish. But he just couldn't do it. And he felt bad about it. And after he moved me, he moved me to Osborne. He came to visit me, took me out for lunch. And it's kind of, in a way, he was sort of telling me he was sorry, but it was too late, of course. But he just couldn't make that move. So he couldn't choose. So he was locked in. And this happens with legalism. You get locked in. And you stunt growth. Nothing really happens when you're locked in, because change is a part of life. Things change. When I came here in 1981, Kimball Avenue was a two-lane street. You know, can you imagine two-lane now? Four-lane is hardly enough during the rush hour. So things change, and we have to change with it. So we always have to be open to change, hard as it may be, but this is how we develop. This is how we grow, by changing. And in our life then, we're evolutionary. We evolve in our as we grow and as things happen. It's evolutionary, so it's inevitable, and we have to grow with that. And if we don't, you stunt the growth. Nothing happens, I see. And so in this evolution, you know. I remember, you know, when I was in the 70s, the young people, as soon as they got graduated from high school, many of them would get married, because they didn't go to college in those days. Some, but not many, see. So they get married. And, of course, then there's a lot of divorces. They were really immature. They couldn't make a mature decision, so they ended up in divorce. And then, as things evolved, they started getting an education. This was in Concordia. The junior college came to Concordia. It's the best thing ever happened there, because then it was more available, and so a lot of the kids started going to junior college, and they continued. This was sort of, you know, universal in our society, that young people. Girls started going to college more. You know, they became professionals. And, you know, years ago, you wouldn't have very few women doctors or, you know, lawyers or anything like that, dentists. Whereas now, it's very common. This is how things change. And this is, we have to change with it, see. And then, of course, change always brings, you know, new problems. So, when the young people, you know, got married, then when they start getting an education, they, of course, postponed marriage. But then you had the problem, they started cohabitating together. You know, they couldn't wait that long before they had a degree and had a job. So we have cohabitation. So we have another problem in another way, see. So change brings problems, and we have to adapt to that. We have to apply the law. Now, some things are changing. In the moral law, you have gray area in some areas, but not always. So some things are absolute. Some things are not changeable in the moral law, but some things are. And, of course, you have to have the wisdom to know the difference. See? So Our moral theologians have to figure this out. You know, how far can we go? You know, what do we have? And, of course, they don't know. You know, they have to discern the Holy Spirit, how to approach this. All we know is we have a problem. How are we going to deal with it? See, that's not easy. See? So it causes a lot of stress in the leaders, a lot of anxiety, trying to figure that out. And of course, morality is relational. It's relationships. And so the laws that we have must be in the heart. See, this is how we live our lives. It has to be in the heart, because that's what that's sincerity. That's our true selves. And so this is how we make a judgment on. It has to have heart. It has to have soul for it to be alive, to be effective. If it doesn't have, if it's not in the heart, it doesn't have meaning, see. It's not that gives a meaning, see. And, you know, we were very strict, of course, And the year of mercy that we had last year with Pope Francis did a lot of good. Because a lot of people who were living, you know, in under stress, you know, worried about their past life. And the year of mercy sort of gave them freedom, huh? Knowing that God is there and God forgives. So we see, you know, it's relational. And we have to have that relationship. And so it has to, our morality has to hit in the heart, because that's where we live. That's our life. And that's our relationship with God and with one another. And if we're able to have a relationship with one another, then we can also have a relationship with God.